Welcome to the Sin Bin. This is Penalty Box Radio.
Three-time Best Sports Blog winner.
With Justin Bradford.
Two-time Toast of Music City Best Sports Reporter.
Big Ben.
Most famous belly in Smashville.
And Glenn Blackwell.
Brought to you by E610 Athletes.
Penalty Box Radio is on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello and welcome to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. This is Justin Bradford alongside Glenn Blackwell, and we have Big Ben on the line because Big Ben still cannot drive thanks to a concussion he took from a puck to the head. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I love how you remind everyone every week that it was a puck to the head. It's like
our
own little.
Let them forget this, Ben. You did it to yourself.
Yeah, wear helmets if you're on the ice and people are shooting pucks. Wear a helmet. You're an example for everybody, right?
It's like our weekly PSA.
If one person really can learn from this, then it's good.
I really hope more than one person learns from it. All right, so short show tonight, folks, because we have the Predators pregame show coming up in just 30 minutes. Nashville Predators are playing this evening in Anaheim. And boy, Anaheim, you know, I'm reminded of a team that the Predators beat in the playoffs last season. Is that correct?
There was a team, and I think it rhymed with Anaheim. It did.
Is it Anaheim?
It was Anaheim.
Oh, all right.
Justin, but you're so smart.
I know. Thank you. But another interesting week here for the Predators, another back-to-back. So it's three back-to-backs to start off the season, basically, in 2.5 weeks, basically. So it's a very unique schedule. Every team has to deal with it. It's not like it's just unique to the Predators. But
yeah. Kind of go ahead and get some of them out of the way.
Yeah, but the Predators are starting out really, really early with these back-to-backs. But they're in California for these next three games, and they'll continue their road trip for the CMAs, as they do every year. But tonight, tomorrow, and then a day off, and then
Right back at it on Saturday.
So three games in 4 days, really busy road trip and another opportunity to get some more wins. Right now, just as it stands, the Nashville Predators are 2-3, so kind of a rough start to the season. We've been really focusing on how important the start of the season is right now. Ben, what have you been noticing out of this Predators team and how they've improved, especially going after that Penguins game?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Penguins game was just something special. You know, they called it the soup line, so many call-ups, but I think that was kind of a game that we'll go back and look at, like Kevin Fiala. He really stepped up that game, and UC Saros, that'll be a game that, you know, as fans will go back to and the team will go back to for years to come and say that was the game that they really made their mark.
And going off of what you said, Ben, that's exactly what I was thinking as well. As far as the fan base, I know a lot of people were talking about the Predators this year being the first time that people were kind of concerned about the goaltending situation in Nashville with Pecorine. And so I think it's comforting for people to look at Saros's performance and say, you know what, like if this is the future of goaltending in Nashville, I think we can actually be really, really comfortable. And even the young people that were called up, you know, if this is the future of the Predators, then we're in good hands.
No, absolutely. And then you look at some of these players that people want to say they're going to get on it soon. Well, Philip Forsberg is one of those players who hasn't scored his first goal yet this season, but he has 5 assists. So 5 games, 5 assists. He's a point-per-game player. He just hasn't put it in the back of the net yet. That'll happen. He had a slow start last year just overall production-wise. So at least right now he has production of some sort.
Yeah, he's contributing.
So yeah, he's tied with P.K. Subban for the lead in the team with 5 points each. So Subban, 2 goals, 3 assists. Off to the start they want, even though he is a -4. But then again, it's still very, very early. Again, we'll continue to push this until probably, I'd say, mid-November. It is really early in the season right now. Yes, these games all matter, but there's a lot of new faces on this team, especially with the food poisoning outbreak. A lot of new faces on the team got some ice time, and they had to kind of gel together, and they did. It was the coming out party for Kevin Fiala and Victor Arvidsson in terms of 2 goals each from them. And it was just fascinating to be able to see those highlights, those highlight reel-type plays, especially Arvidsson's tip-in into the back of the net.
Yeah, and it's great to see that against the defending Stanley Cup champions and the Penguins because, like we were saying earlier, it's awesome to see the young talent and the future of the Predators, but when you have a guy like Philip Forsberg who hasn't even scored a goal yet, and yet the Predators are still beating the Penguins 5-1, I think it says a lot about the team and where they could go the rest of the season.
Ben, your thoughts?
You're exactly right. You know, this team, kind of, we talk about resiliency a lot when it comes to the Predators, and that's been a theme going back to the Barry Trotz years. But this game kind of showed that that is still the lifeblood of the Predators. They found a way with 5 guys out of the lineup to bounce in and really score.
No, they absolutely did. Now, coming up a little bit later in the show, in our second segment, we're going to talk to Kevin Kurz. He's with CSN Bay Area just to look at the San Jose Sharks, who ousted the Preds unfortunately, last season. So get an update of where they're at, how their season started off, because that's who the Predators will face on Saturday. But let's look at who's hot against Anaheim, against the Ducks. Ryan Ellis, 6 points in his last 6 games in the regular season against the Ducks. It's 1 goal and 5 assists. Roman Josi has 1 point in 4 of his last 5 regular season games against Anaheim, 1 goal and 3 assists. James Neal has 1 point in 4 of his last 5, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Mike Ribeiro has at least 1 point in 17 of his last 19 regular season games against Anaheim. That's a pretty good,
that's
pretty good stats right there, 8 goals and 15 assists. So looking at it right now, especially Anaheim struggling a little bit, they've had a call-up in terms of goal, the injury bug right there. It's going to be really interesting to see what they go with. Now, the Predators' lines this morning, as Brooks Bratton tweeted out, keeping the lines as they did against Pittsburgh. So you have Arvidsson, Johansson, Neal, Forsberg, Ribeiro, Fiala, Wilson, Fisher, Smith, Yarncroak, Sissons, Watson. I like it, especially
like it
with what they have to deal with. And, you know, I think it's just going to take a little bit more just to see how this is going to all situate for the rest of the season. That's nothing concrete right now when you look at these lines. Plus, the injury, let's talk about this really quick here. The injury to Anthony Boteto, something signaled that it could be a little bit worse based on a minor league trade that happened on Monday. And that's with the Milwaukee Admirals and the Springfield Falcons. Now, Milwaukee traded 3 players just to get Adam Party. And now he's played 300 or so games in the NHL, so he's a left-handed defenseman, which also cues that Matt Irwin could be up a little bit longer for the Nashville Predators. So it's going to be one of those things we have to see how it all plays out. Hopefully Tony heals a lot quicker than it's looking like, but it could be looking like it could be more than the 6 to 8 weeks that the prognosis that they gave a little bit earlier on, because he just did not look good getting up there.
And if that's the case, then they're prepared for it.
Absolutely. So, Ben, I know, because before we have to get to break, you have some news. Firehouse Hockey, though, folks, if you, those of you that don't know, Ben has headed up this entire organization to really focus on those in the emergency services that have hockey teams and really focus on that, not just in the U.S., not just in North America, but for the world. And so he has some news that he wants to share.
Well, yeah, definitely. Like you said, we've got 2 continents and 3 countries represented at this point, and we've been doing it almost 1.5 years now. And just kind of, I got with our sponsor, Andy Maloney from E610 Athlete, several months back, and kind of said, what can we do to take Firehouse Hockey to the next level? And so we started the process to kind of make it officially a nonprofit. We grabbed Chris Mason, a former goaltender for the Preds and Blues, and kind of formed a nonprofit board. And in that time, it's a lot of paperwork, a lot of headache. We were fortunate enough that Jamie Allison jumped in with us. And even this week, we had Eric Young join us. And we brought in some more help for some digital content, some marketing with a girl named Ashley Stagg that's going to be helping us. So we were excited for a big week, you know, bringing Eric and Ashley in just this week and adding 3 teams. We thought it was going to be a big week. But now, drum roll, I can officially announce that we got the confirmation yesterday that Firehouse Hockey has been approved and is officially a 501c4 nonprofit through the IRS.
That is awesome news.
Yeah, I mean, it is huge for us. You know, we are official, you could say.
That's great.
Super, super exciting and very proud of you and what you've brought this, Ben. Like, this has come so far so soon, so I'm very, very proud.
It is. I mean, everyone that I mentioned, you know, Andy, Mace, Eric, Jamie, Ashley, everyone that's been with us along the way, all the team captains out there that have kind of believed in us with nothing to go on, just kind of put their faith in us. I got to say thank you so much. We're just going to get bigger and better from here. So stay tuned.
There you have it, folks. Make sure you go onto Facebook to Firehouse Hockey. Give them a like there, because they have some merchandise that you can always get, some T-shirts, because everyone loves T-shirts. So get some T-shirts there and support the cause. And then also on Twitter as well, and firehousehockey.com. So now before we go to break, oh, go ahead, Ben.
Oh, and I've got to give a special shout-out to not only to Andy, but to his partner, Houston Aiken from Aiken and Maloney Law Firm. Houston has been the driving force and has thankfully fielded most of the work with the IRS for me. So I don't want to forget to thank him.
That's absolutely great. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the NHL before we have to go to our break, basically our only break in the show here.
Break tonight.
It's one of those things, and we saw basically the opening week is Auston Matthews. And I want to discuss some things in the NHL here, because Auston Matthews is a rookie and currently still early in the season, as we keep on saying, but he has 10 points and he leads the league. Matthews.
Yeah.
And he leads the league in goals, too. 6 goals. So the kid is real, and if Steve Dangle, who we had on our first show of the season, his reaction videos have been absolutely phenomenal seeing this. Now, granted, the Leafs are not winning yet, but people should be on watch, because once this team really clicks, they could be really good for about 5 or 6 years, and they could make some runs. Just in if they can get their goaltending situation figured out, because they haven't done that yet, they're going to be able to score goals.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Doubt.
And this is actually the flip side of, it's early in the season. It's really early in the season, and look what he's already accomplished. So.
Absolutely. And then another thing I want to point out is obviously we kind of keep track of Montreal just because of Shea Weber
just
up there.
Bit.
And there's a dude named Alexander Radulov that's up there as well. But Montreal currently leading their division, leading the East with 11 points. They're 5-0-1 to start the season, which is pretty impressive. And Shea Weber leads the team in points with 7, 2 goals, 5 assists. So really good start to Montreal there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, EA Sports picked Montreal and Nashville to face off in the Stanley Cup final. So
it'd
be really interesting if that does happen. And it's just interesting to follow what's going along here in the early part of the season to see how it all pans out. All of these predictions, it's so early. We're not even a quarter of the way through yet.
Yeah, that's the fun part of predictions is that 99% of them are not going to be right. But it's fun to follow along.
It absolutely is. Well, Ben, any last words before we got to go?
No, I hope you guys have a good rest of the show. And I can't wait to be in studio with you hopefully sooner than later.
And hopefully that clears you. So, all right. Well, up next, who we're going to talk with is Kevin Kurz. He's with CSN out of the Bay Area. So few hours earlier over there, but we're going to talk to him about the San Jose Sharks, just what's going on over on the Pacific Coast with hockey over there and their start to the season and how close they were to bringing home the Stanley Cup last season. You're listening to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, back to Penalty Box Radio with Justin Bradford, Big Ben, and Glenn Blackwell on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio, powered by E610 Athletes. This is Justin Bradford alongside Glenn Blackwell, and on the line with us right now is Kevin Kurz of CSN Bay Area. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Well, let's talk. We don't have much time here, but we obviously wanted to get caught up on what's going on with the Sharks and just especially their deep run last year and how that's carrying over to this season. So I guess overall, to get an idea, how are the Sharks doing so far this season? What have they looked like? Are they looking as strong as they have, or are they kind of off to a slow start?
Well, they're off to a so-so start, I would say. You know, it was a tough training camp for them. They had 5 guys in the World Cup final, which was more than any other team, 4 on Team Canada, 1 on Team Europe. So those guys were late getting to camp. And then they had to take this 5-game road trip. They played their home opener, and then they took a 5-game road trip, 5 games in 8 days, and they literally didn't practice a single time on that trip. So, you know, they finished 3-3 on that trip, which it was going well for a little while. They had a 2-goal lead in Pittsburgh after 2 periods. Then they blew it in the 3rd period, lost in regulation 3-2, and then they got smoked by the Red Wings. But they came back last night, started the homestand against the Ducks, and played what might have been their most complete game of the season so far, even though it was only 2-1. They probably deserved better than an overtime win. But you know, I think they're. I think they've worked through a couple of issues here, just because they didn't have anybody in camp, and it was such a tough road trip that they expect to keep building their game here, especially throughout this 3-game homestand and 5 out of the next 6 at home.
And we've been talking on our show this season a lot about the importance statistically for how a team starts off the season, like the first 10 or 15 games. And looking at the Sharks, I mean, they're a puck possession team right now. They're putting pressure on their opponents. They're making shots. The goals just aren't there. So if you're coach, what is your focus over the next few days of practice?
Well, you know, the power play wasn't very good on the road trip, so I think they've been working on that a little bit. You know, they've had the same 5 guys on the top unit for so long. And I think that the expectation is that they'll eventually come out of it, but that's one aspect of the game that has to be a little bit better. I think they could do a better job from their defensemen at getting shots through. And I think right now they're 4th or 5th in the league in shots on goal a night. But other than Brent Burns, their defensemen have not been getting shots through, I think, a rate that they could be getting them through. So that's another area I would look at, I think, moving forward here.
And again, this is Kevin Kurz of CSN Bay Area talking some San Jose Sharks with us. The Predators play the Sharks on Saturday. And so now, speaking just of last season, went to Game 7, pushed them to the brink, and Sharks completely blew the Predators out of the water there in Game 7. Obviously, one of Shea Weber's worst games that we saw in a long time. The run that the Sharks were able to make, though, have the players learned a lot from that in the final, in their loss in the final, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder in terms of how they've talked prior to the season and already this season that they know they have higher expectations on themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think they always, if you ask the guys in the room, they always had the expectation that they could make a long run. But, they really did exercise some of those playoff demons in the past last year, particularly against the Los Angeles Kings. They blew a 3-0 lead in the first round a couple of years ago and matched up against them in the first round again this year. And I think that was the series that really allowed them to move on from some of the stuff that's happened in the past, especially guys like Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau. And there were a lot of guys that are still on the current team that were a part of that 3-0 collapse. So, that was big for them. I think that, they're obviously confident that they can do that again, but, the head coach, Pete DeBoer, has been pretty adamant that, these guys have an X on their back now. They're seen around the league as the team that did make that deep run in the playoffs last year, that team that did come so close to winning the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be a tougher road in the regular season, and I think we've seen that so far. There really haven't been any easy games that this team has played. Even the Columbus Blue Jackets, they were up 3-0, but Columbus made a real strong push in the third period, and that's probably a team that nobody really expects to do much this year. So, I think they have to be prepared here on the night-in, night-out basis that they're going to get just about every team's A game, and it's certainly not going to be an easy road to get back there.
Yeah, and it never is, especially in the NHL with how it goes and how long the season is. So now looking at the roster for this team, most of the faces are obviously back for this team, and you don't necessarily always see that following a deep run there. But are there any players on this team, whether acquired in the offseason or some new faces, that you would expect big things from this season?
Well, they signed Michael Bodker to a 4-year deal in the offseason, 4 years, $16 million. And, he was one of those guys that was at the World Cup for so long playing for Team Europe. That's especially complicated when you miss training camp for a new team. So I think they're giving him some rope in terms of getting his game going. Because he struggled a little bit in the early going, but they did move him up to the Joe Thornton, Joe Pavelski line, that top line. And, so many players in the past in San Jose have gotten a jolt from playing with Joe Thornton, including Thomas Hertl, who was there most recently and really thrived in that position in the second half of last year. So I think they're hoping to get a little bit more out of Bodker. And he looked better last night in his first game on that line. He had a couple open looks. That's trending the right way. And, the only other guy they really have that's new is David Schlemko, a defenseman. And he's one of those guys that, he's got a little bit of an offensive element to his game. We didn't see a whole lot of him in New Jersey being out here in California, but I've been pretty impressed with him. He doesn't have any points yet, but he's shown a knack for getting the puck to the net, which is something that some of their other guys have struggled with so far this year. So he's a guy that I think they expect to play well defensively, but also be able to contribute on the score sheet a little bit.
Excellent. So now, the defenseman that everyone always talks about when you hear San Jose is obviously Brent Burns. But I think one of the more underrated defensemen in the entire league is Marc-Edouard Vlasic, just in terms of his playmaking skills, what he's done in international play, and obviously his OT winner there. Would you kind of agree with that assessment that he really is kind of underrated, that he doesn't get as much attention as he probably deserves?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you have to remember he was on the Olympic team, part of Team Canada in Sochi. He was actually picked for the Team Canada World Cup team as one of their first choices before Burns. Certainly in international circles and for the brain trust of Team Canada, he's not underrated. He's a guy they basically have penciled in all the time because he's that good, especially in his own end. But, he does fly under the radar, absolutely. It's because he doesn't have, the offensive flair that Burns has. He certainly doesn't have the personality of a Brent Burns. I think that helps Brent's exposure a little bit with the long beard and the crazy suits. But Vlasic, make no mistake, this guy is just as important to the team, if not more important to the team, than Burns, just because he is that shutdown defenseman, and he's the guy that you can count on to be in the right position every time. And when the puck's on his stick, 99% of the time he's going to do the right thing with it. So, you know, that's just, he's just one of those guys that, yeah, he doesn't have the, you know, the name, recognition, I think, of a guy like Brent Burns or Joe Thornton or Logan Couture. But in that dressing room and that coaching staff, they have no doubts that, he's one of their most, if not their most important player.
That's good to know. And I've really, really enjoyed watching him play. Just in, he's one of those guys I always tend to pick whenever I'm doing Hut or anything like that in NHL on Xbox. Yep. There. So now looking at the schedule before we close up with you, it's one of those things that the Predators have started with three back-to-backs in the first 3 weeks of the season. The Sharks had a Monday-Tuesday, which is always weird. Seems like the World Cup and the bye week have really thrown the schedule off here. Luckily for the Sharks, they have a pretty normal schedule for the first part of the season and the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday gig here. But as someone who covers the team, how did these back-to-back sometimes throw you off in terms of, that's a lot of travel and a lot to compose as well?
Yeah, it is. You know, I probably go to 75% of the game, so I'm not doing every one. But, you know, it's a grind for these guys, especially out here in the Pacific Division. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no really short flights. When Vegas opens up next year, that'll be the shortest trip for the Sharks. But until then, really nothing is closer than an hour and a half flight away. And these guys have 16 back-to-back. So, you know, it's not easy, and it's a little bit of a condensed schedule with the World Cup and the bye week now coming in. So, you know, you got to do it, right?
Right, absolutely. Well, Kevin, we absolutely appreciate you joining us, and maybe we'll see you again in the playoffs in Nashville.
Okay, thanks.
All right,
take
thank
care,
you.
Guys.
Folks, that is Kevin Kurz of CSN Bay Area. You can follow him on Twitter at KKurzCSN. Lots of good information. There are lots of stories to cover the Sharks there, just to kind of get to know the opponent. That's how we
exactly.
Like to bring these people on here, because you get to know what's going on, especially it's a team you're going to see a little bit this season, but especially this early.
Yeah, and it's a team that the Predators had some history with
at
the very end of last year that is still a little bit, you know, of an emotional subject. So it's exciting. It's exciting to get to talk to him, and he's full of knowledge about that team. So
he really is. And you know what I've noticed, too, is about Game 7. People don't really want to talk about Game 7 much. They want to talk about triple overtime.
Yeah.
but Game 7 is not going to get much discussion there, that 5-0. Like,
exactly.
It just didn't happen. They're out in 6.
Yeah.
Okay, so Glenn, looking at the schedule ahead just this week, three mm-hmm. California teams have a back-to-back. How do you think the Predators go this week?
I'm thinking they're going to take two home, and then they're going to leave one. I think that San Jose is going to put up quite a fight. Not that the other teams won't, but I do think that's where they're going to find their loss. But I'm confident in the other two that they're going to take home.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I think it'll be a 2-1 finish to the week here, especially mm-hmm. with, you look at some of the troubles that Anaheim and LA both have
yeah.
had with
but
injuries
I'm
and everything.
I'm always cautious about that because
yeah.
the second that you say
they
that,
tend to step up,
but,
don't they?
You know, and teams do. Teams step up when they need to, but I'm confident. So
absolutely.
We'll
so
see.
I think San Jose is going to be that 1-0 this mm-hmm. week, and I think that's just because how strong that San Jose team is, and
absolutely.
They tend to have Nashville's number always,
yep.
especially over in San Jose. They just tend to have their number there. So.
Mm-hmm.
But against Anaheim and LA, though, especially Jonathan Quick out.
Ooh.
Anaheim, who
goal
knows?
We don't know.
The goaltender.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been one of those interesting situations in goal there for Anaheim, plus has some other injury bugs with the forward units as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're just one of those teams that right now, I don't think they have an identity, really.
They don't.
In Anaheim.
And yeah, they're what that click that usually just kind of meshes well is not really meshing as much this year. You know, you've got Ryan Getzlaff, who's.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah,
exactly. So it's a tricky situation because you can say that all you want, and then they could go out there and get blasted by them. So who knows?
All right. Thanks for tuning in to Penalty Box Radio here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.